Hello, everyone. Welcome back to PWPonderings.com. This is a special podcast. We hope everyone had a great New Year's. You're not too, still hungover or anything to listen to this. This is a Wrestle Kingdom 9 preview. I think this is pretty much the first time we've ever previewed a big show for New Japan on PWP. So I had to bring in two special guests. Of course, Brian, you are here joining us. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm not hungover. Happy New Year, everybody. And I'm not hungover. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I took a walk. I was fine. It's all good.
It's good that you had to check in for that. And TJ Hawk is also on the line. TJ, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well. I'm fresh off my first PWP podcast this week, where I buried Chikara for 45 minutes. So that was fun.
I haven't reached that point yet in it. I'm still listening to Matt Waters, like, really, really put over Bola. So no spoilers. No spoilers. Come on.
Where's Matt? Matt was supposed to come here to lend his expertise for this show.
Oh, I know, right? I mean, he knows everything about the roster. Yeah. He's going to give us the history of everything. I know. Matt's a slacker.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting on him to do the podcast for PW Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. So, yeah, we're waiting on you, Matt. So.
Yeah, and I was waiting for Matt to explain to me why the Never title has all caps for Never. But fuck you, Matt Waters. Fuck you.
Is it not the same reason why Kenta is in all caps? Is it? I've always just assumed that was the reason.
Because it means that much more.
Exactly. Right? It is the Never title. You got to pronounce it right.
Never. Kind of like as in from the Sandlot.
As in the group will never run a show as soon as they crown their first champion, which is literally what happened.
Yes, it did. Okay, so let's start off. This is obviously the biggest show. It is taking place this weekend. It is on, literally, you could get it in any form. You get it on traditional pay-per-view. You can get it on the Flips app, which, I've never used it. I don't know if that's a good app or not, but hey, you can get it. Or if you're a member of New Japan World, you can get it there, too, for a lot cheaper price. I'm just saying. And, I'm actually just going to ask that out. We're just going to start off good. I guess. TJ, how are you going to be watching this show?
I plan on getting it through New Japan World, which I have not signed up for yet, but it's only $8, and I'm going to project it on a wall. It's going to be a great time at 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast.
Awesome. I mean, hey, it's going to be $8.40, though. Ah, that 40 cents, right?
Yeah.
Deal breakers there. Brian, how are you going to be watching this?
I'll be using the Flips app by default. I mean, I was going to order it on In Demand, but In Demand chose to air the UFC replay in the space of time. So I don't blame them. I mean, yeah, it's more money. So, you know, that's business. But thank God for the Flips app. So I'm just going to project it through or stream it through the Xbox 360 because I guess you can stream it through there. I haven't tested it out yet, but I'm pretty sure it works. I mean, it's fine. And then if anything, I have New Japan World and just sync up the audio. So I got backups, if anything. And, I'm really excited, and I'm having people over. I'm going to have Des Delgadillo over. It's going to be kind of like an all-nighter kind of thing with a bunch of people over watching, mixed martial arts and then, pro wrestling at its best. So it's going to be quite the long night, and I'm going to need a lot of Red Bull.
Good.
So after you stop watching that fake UFC stuff, you can watch some real, real competitive sports with New Japan.
Exactly, because we all know that John Jones is such a phony heel, just like Triple H.
Dude, that's how they booked it, right? It's totally. It's going to be Jones winning. Come on. We know this.
Don't say that to poor Daniel Cormier.
I know, right? I feel so bad for the guy. So for myself, I did actually order this on traditional pay-per-view, and I don't think – and I'm using AT&T UVerse. I don't think they know about this show because when I called them, I think I had like a pretty typical response that everyone else had. They literally didn't know. The person on the line was like – I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see any information on it on my end, but if you ordered it through us, thanks. And I was like, wow, this is bad. So I'm not getting the live version. I'm getting the replay, so I will be watching it on New Japan World. Not that, I mean, hey, technically I paid to hear Jim Ross and someone else, and that someone else is Matt Stryker. So not really sure if I'm winning or not.
That's basically the worst combination they could have picked, as far as I'm concerned. You have a guy who doesn't know the product in Jim Ross and the most obnoxious wrestling commentator in the world in Matt Stryker. It blows my mind. But hey, they're going to draw. Those two are going to draw viewers in.
Hey, I mean, I think anyone has heard like what Jerome and I had to say about Matt Stryker on Lucha Underground. It was like, okay, that's, you know what you're getting with Matt Stryker. I don't know. Did either of you watch those what are they called, the Final Word videos that they put out?
I snapped too, and then I realized they keep saying the same things over and over, like generalizing the product as opposed to saying specific things. So, you know, I get it that they are trying to promote the product, but they really don't know the specifics, so it's kind of hard to promote, you know, the Japanese guys if you don't really know about them. I mean, that's what I noticed from those promos.
Which was the fear, right? We were like, oh, God, please get someone who actually knows the product, like a Pollock or a Tanay, and we got the guy who... I mean, there's nothing against Stryker. It's just you don't know about the product. You know as much about it as Jim Ross. So what was the point?
Right. And it's just basic stuff I think they can get across. So I think the wrestling matches themselves will get over more. And, you know, because it'll be easy to call, I think, if you just tell the story in the ring. And, you know, it'll be easier for Jim Ross to do that because that's what he's good at. So I think he'll be fine on that end. Matt Stryker, you know, he'll just... hopefully just not get too annoying, I guess. I hate saying that about the guy because he seems really committed to the craft, but...
he's so annoying.
I know, but I mean, I hate to say that about the guy. I guess I'm just too nice of a person, but...
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Counterbalance that, so...
Exactly. We're trying to get some real Hawk hate going on here. But, I mean, how can you hate on it? The guy called a single leg takedown, he called it a World of Sport style wrestling. I was like... Dude, it's a single leg takedown. We've always done that. It's not. It was terrible. I was like, just forget it. Can't even deal with him. But I mean, hey guys, at least would it have been better with Scott D'Amore? Huh? Maybe.
At least someone who's somewhat knowledgeable about the guys. But actually, you know what? Scott D'Amore would have been a better choice now that I think about it, because I heard him on Wrestling Observer, and he seems more in tune with the product. I mean, he was actually at some of the more recent shows in the last year. He's been to Osaka, he's been to Kirk and Hall, so he's seen the live and seems more in tune with it, so I think that would actually have been a better choice, but c'est la vie.
He also probably would have been doing a Bullet Club heel commentator role, so that probably would have sucked.
Interesting, actually, because he would have been actually part of the show in terms of storyline, so instead of just an outside perspective observing, you know, so, oh well. Yeah.
No, I could see that. That would have been interesting. So, but that's going on the tagline, Brian. He is alive. That's good work there. So let's start this off. There is going to be a pre-show going on. TJ, it is on the New Japan World, right? We're going to see the Rumble, but those watching it on the pay-per-view and flips are not, I believe.
As far as I understand, I think there's a chance the first couple matches are not on the Global Force Wrestling broadcast, but I honestly don't know. But I know the Battle Royal or the Royal Rumble is just for the New Japan World.
Yeah. And the only four names that we have announced is a 10 or 15 man Rumble, Jushin Thunder Liger, Manabu Nakanishi, Tiger Mask, and Yuji Nagata, and then everyone else. I mean, you got to assume Captain New Japan, you know.
Komatsu, the other young lion that I'm blanking on. And I'm hoping that there'll be a couple of random surprises. And it's kind of a shame Nagata is on the pre-show.
I know. That's what I was saying. I was like, how do you put him there? I mean, it's not like this is going to be Bob Sapp or anything, but you never know. You never know. It's happened before. But yeah, I mean, can we even make a prediction for this? I mean, I'm assuming Nagata just because of the relationship between Noah, but...
Captain New Japan, all the way.
Oh, Brian.
I'm serious, because, like, this is okay. I mean, it's kind of like the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. My pick for that is already going to be Mizdow. But it's that same kind of thing where it's like, okay, I think you should use this match to kind of reward those guys who the crowd loves but never wins. Like, if Honma was in the Battle Royal, I would have totally picked Honma. But the next guy in that kind of role would be kind of Captain New Japan. And it's not like he can pin anybody, you know? He's just going to throw people over the top in some fluke fashion. You know, I think this would be a perfect opportunity to get the crowd to pop early, get kind of a buzz from the crowd. Like, oh, my God, Captain New Japan just won. Like a high profile match at the Tokyo Dome, you know what I mean? Like, but that's just my, you know, opinion.
Last two guys in the match, Captain New Japan and Yoshihashi. It's going down the books.
Yoshihashi. Oh, he's going to be in the match. That sucks.
TJ, any predictions? I guess it's not going to be Yoshihashi for you.
I really hope it's not Yoshihashi. I mean, unless there's like a debut coming that's just completely out of left field, Captain New Japan winning's fine. I expect this actually to be mildly fun. I'm somewhat looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. It's not like we're saying there's going to be a bad match. It's just there. It's the Battle Royal. That's what it is.
Oh, they're bad matches to come. This won't be one of them.
No. The next match will also not be one of the bad matches, and God, it had better make the actual... I mean, I'm assuming it will, but it better. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match, Red Dragon, the champions defending against Forever Hooligans, the Time Splitters, and the Young Bucks. Say what you will about this match. We've seen these guys in all different incarnations, whatever. It's a fun match. It's going to get the crowd popping. It's going to get us popping here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Brian, what do you think about this match, and who do you see winning?
It's a coin flip. I mean, I see it. Anyone can win, and it could be totally fine instead of more matches. But, like, this match can either go, like, two ways. Like, one way is everyone's what expecting. Like, everything's going to be a spot fest, no story, 27,000 super kicks, and, you know, near falls up the ass, right? I mean, or they could actually tell a story in this match and slow it down, but I don't know.
That sounds awful.
They could totally do it a different way and totally just, you know, do something that no one's expecting, but I highly doubt they'll do that. But this will be probably just the, you know, 12, 13-minute spot fest, and I don't know. Let's say they retain, you know, O'Reilly and Fish. So,
really?
Because why not? You know, like, unless Ring of Honor is preventing them from coming back for more, I don't see why not. I mean, they just won the belt, so.
Yeah, and they're going to be on the New Beginning tour, so it's definitely possible that they can retain now and lose them later if scheduling is an issue.
Who do you see winning, TJ?
I'm going to stick with Red Dragon. I think there's no reason. They hotshot these belts so much, they really could use one successful defense before they drop them at the very least. I agree, Brian. I think it's going to be like a six-minute spot fest. I think even Kyle O'Reilly joked that their entrances will probably be longer than the actual match, and I'm expecting something like that. And this match, this is basically the exact same match from last year that they had in this spot, only it was Taichi and Takumi Junoku inside of Red Dragon.
Yep.
And the match really wasn't over last year. I don't know whether it was just because it was the Dome or whatnot, but I'm hoping this year it gets a little bit better reaction.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I mean, I was thinking about that while I was saying this will pop the cut. I was like, oh, wait, the only thing that popped them was the DeLorean, and then everything after that was just nothing.
Yeah,
and
they did a rematch the next day last year, and I think that got over much better. So maybe that'll end up being the same thing this year.
I think the Hurricane Hall show is also going to be live on New Japan World the next day also. So, hey, we're going to get Wrestle Kingdom and essentially the Raw after. So
yeah.
It's not Raw.
So. I think it's a great idea.
It works out. Hey, it's worth my money, so there you go. Next matchup, maybe this could be one of those matches we were talking about. The Bullet Club of Bad Luck Fale, Jeff Jarrett, and Yujiro Takahashi versus Hiroshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Tomioka Honma. Guys, we were talking about this even before we got on the air, and then we were like, we really should be recording this. TJ, this match, break it down for us. I mean, obviously this is a super serious match, right?
This is a very important match that will determine many, many storylines going forward for New Japan. Obviously, this is just a throwaway match to get Jarrett on the card. The Bullet Club team might be the least interesting team in the world. and I just watched Chikara for a full season, so...
Whoa!
That's saying fired. Something. Yeah. the babyface team, I mean, I love Honma. Honma is a great, great, great wrestler. And Kojima and Tenzan did well in the G1 this year, but this feels like a nothing, get everyone on the show type of match.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't
even want to predict a winner, huh? You're like,
I think Bullet Club's winning. I honestly don't think Hanma's going to win. But if Honma pinned Jarrett, it'd be the biggest pop of the night. So.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Brian, what? Are you going to change? No.
Oh, well, you know, I was just thinking, I don't even know. Does the crowd even care about Jarrett? I haven't gotten that sense, but I think it would be a big pop if Honma beat Jarrett.
I mean, I haven't watched any. I recently watched the finals of the tag league, and I don't know. Jarrett he's just kind of there. I don't even. Would it be shocking to find out if any of the New Japan fans are like, wait, he has a Global Force Wrestling promotion of his own that he's trying to start? What? I think they just see him as he's just another Gaijin guy who just shows up with a guitar and hits people over the head with it. I mean, what could they possibly care about him, you know?
I don't think they care, but, I mean, he's just the face of Global Force, so they got to put him out there. So that's pretty much it. And this match is going to be... like 5 minutes of boringness and like 2 minutes of awesomeness with Honma. And I mean, even if Honma pinned either one of them, I think it would still be an awesome pop. But They're not going to pin him. Or, I mean, they're not going to let him win because it's Hanma. They're just not going to let him win. If they didn't give him one win of the G1, they're not going to give him a win here. It's like, it's just this gimmick now, and it's he's never going to win, I don't think.
Yeah, it's almost like this is just a thank you, Jeff Jarrett, for getting us some business on the USM pay-per-view, even though that's not been very successful. But whatever. Yeah, that just kind of seems like what it is. So, not too exciting of a match. The next match I am looking forward to, it is, of course, the Toriyano, who has his mystery partners are now announced. It is Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste, TMDK, and Naramichi Marufuji versus Suzuki Gunn, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, Shelton Benjamin, and Takeshi Iizuka. I mean,
Shelton X Benjamin.
Yes, Shelton, I'm sorry. Shelton 10 Benjamin. I don't know what that means.
Shelton Multiplication Benjamin.
Time
Shelton times Benjamin. What do you even get with that?
Awfulness. Awfulness.
Hey, he's got a good drop kick every once in a while, kind of. So yeah, I mean, I think the aspect of this match is only more interesting because it's being reported that Noah and New Japan are going to have a business relationship going forward. So I would assume here that the Team Noah guys are going over. I mean, I don't know. Brian, what do you think of this match? I'm expecting a good match. I don't think any of these guys are, quote-unquote, bad. Well, okay, there's two of them on the Suzuki Gun team that are pretty bad. But other than that, what do you think about this?
This is pretty much like a way to set up, I guess, a cross-promotional rivalry, right? I mean, I guess they're going to use the guys that are not getting too much, you know, screen time or focus on storylines in New Japan and just going to, you know, rent them out or, I don't know if renting them out or, you know, there's some kind of relationship there. I've heard even the strangest rumor that New Japan secretly bought or is going to buy Noah or something. But that sounds crazy. But, I mean, I easily see, like, maybe Shelton Benjamin going over to Noah and challenging for the GHC title, set that up with Marufuji, you know. And then, of course, Yano and Iizuka are just going to brawl all over the ring. And Yano's probably going to have to save Shinpei Nogami. Because Nogami's probably going to get some weird face paint, isn't he, this time? I mean, it's Wrestle Kingdom, so it's got to be special. I mean, last year I think he was that anime cat or something like that. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, he was like a character of something there. You know, I didn't understand the reference, but I wouldn't.
I didn't either, but I had to look it up. So it's going to be interesting there, and they're going to have their little shtick. And then, you know, the tag feud is going to be really interesting because it's four gaijins who are kind of, you know, big-sized guys, and they can go at it, you know, hard in the ring and... Let's see where it goes from there. I mean, I guess what Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith go over to Noah for a bit and do some invasion like Giant Bernard and Carl Anderson did back in like what, 2010, I think it was. I mean, we'll see where it goes, but maybe Archer and Davey Boy actually become the GHC tag champs and do some damage over in Noah and, you know, do back and forth a little bit and do a little bit of touring with New Japan. But this is like a match to set up the rest of the year, I think, just a kind of a preview of what's to come. Too bad Nagata's not in this match, because I think Nagata is kind of a player in terms of, you know, going over to Noah since he was the GAT champion, but,
Tenkozy was over there too, so it's like, that would have made sense also.
Singles league they have over there in Noah.
The Global League,
exactly. Everyone has those leagues around the same time, it's kind of funny. But yeah, anyway, like, this is just, you know, to set up the future, basically for 2015, and... I'll say that let's give Yano the win just because it's kind of his team. He's the captain. And yeah, for no other reason because it's, you know, just give Yano a win.
TJ, what do you think of this match?
I don't really care. I don't know why New Japan would want to work with Noah unless they've actually started investing in Noah. If there is going to be a Noah versus New Japan feud, I hope Davey Boy, Lance Archer, Shelton times Benjamin, and all the other shitty gaijin that New Japan is filled with at the moment just go to Noah and just feud with Noah people in Noah for the rest of their careers. That would be ideal for me. I really don't like a lot of the people in this match. I'm not sold. I'm not familiar enough with the Mighty Don't Kneel to know whether or not they're good or not, but I've heard good things about them. I've seen a couple decent matches from them. But overall, I really don't care about this match. I'll say Team Noah wins.
There you go. Hey, I mean, if it was actually Team Murder Death Kill, I actually would have been more interested in them. But and that's not a knock on them. I don't know them either. So there you go. The next match, guys, though, UWF rules style match. It's some of that fake MMA stuff, you know? So it's Minoru Suzuki versus Kazushi Sakuraba. Everything you just said, TJ, about the last match is kind of my feelings. I look, I respect Sakuraba. I get what he's done for Pride and MMA and stuff, but this is pro wrestling. This is not that interesting to me. Even if this was, you know, like what they did last year, you know, with a Gracie, it's still just.
Oh God, that was awful. I hope
yeah,
that
was.
That.
And I don't think this is going to be that bad because this is actually there's actually kind of a story here. I mean, they've been doing Suzuki and Sakuraba have been teaming together for, God, it seems like forever now. But you know, it's just a match. I'm sure it'll be fine. I don't know. It's just going to be there. TJ, what do you think of this match?
This feud has been going on since the G1 Climax Finals when they had like an undercard trios match, and it feels like it's been going on for 5 years. It feels like it's been going on as long as Suzuki and Toriano. And I think the more the harder they hit and the shorter the match goes, the more fun it's going to be. The longer the match goes and the more they do fake MMA trading of holds, the more boring it's going to be and the less I'm going to care.
Yeah, if you read that this match went 10 minutes, you know it's...
Yeah, that's going to be way too long for this match.
Yeah, if they go like 7 minutes and they just beat the shit out of each other the entire time, it may be the match of the night. If they go 11 minutes and they pretend to do MMA the entire time, it's going to suck. So yeah. I have no idea. I think they're smart enough to just do the hitting each other really hard match, and they both guys seem to do that match well, but I don't know. I mean, Sakuraba has had one good singles match in now 2+ years in his current run. He had also a good trios match with Akebono and Kota Ibushi's a team. That was the greatest team ever, by the way. And that team needs to come back as soon as possible. But if this match isn't good, I don't know why you're paying Sakuraba to hang around.
Yeah, I mean, there was all that controversy of I can't remember the guy's name, but he was bringing in the MMA guys and
yeah, the new president. They brought in Sakuraba and Shibata.
Hey, like, Shibata works out. That's fine, but
oh, I mean, overall, it's definitely a plus. But at the time, I mean, it was a huge controversy, and he didn't ask anybody whether or not they were okay with him bringing them back, and it's a huge controversy. And now Shibata's full time, and Sakuraba is still here and there.
Brian, what are you? I mean, you're going to be watching, you know, MMA right before you watch this. So, are you interested in this match anymore?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's going to be fun. I just think that Minoru Suzuki should not have gotten pinned. What was it, November? Like, I thought that was kind of just, it killed a lot of momentum, I thought. And they were tagging way too much against each other, too. And they were keep repeating the same matches. But, I mean, what can you do if you're trying to stretch it out into a Tokyo Dome main event when you started it back in August? So they should have started it back in October, maybe, and then did that slow build. But
or just not have Sakuraba appear for 3 months. Like, you don't need, what does he do?
That is like, yeah, he's not been in the tag league either. That kind of ruins his
mystique a little bit.
Yeah, because he was on way too many shows as it is this year, I think. He kind of, I don't know. I guess the Nagata kind of stretched it out too. They stretched that out the same way. This should go 5 minutes, and I think 7's a little too much, but I think 5 minutes is just right. And probably like a minute of like submission holes, and then it's just going to break down. It's just trying to knock each other out and go from there, and hopefully it'll be like an old UWF style match, and hopefully it'll be just 5 minutes and not 10.
Yeah, I mean, watching Sakuraba go for those submissions, which you know he's not really going for, is just, I don't know. I don't find it that entertaining.
I will say I'm like tickled by the idea of Sakuraba and Toriano being a team. That's like amusing to me. And I've heard they had a couple of decent matches in the tournament, but I don't care enough to go back and watch them, quite frankly.
So the NEVER Openweight Championship match, Tomohiro Ishii versus Togi Makabe. I think this is one of the first matches where all of us, probably, at least I am, are pretty excited for. I mean, these guys are just going to be a drag out, beat each other up. And Ishii, man, he's had had a pretty good year going forward. And he is now the NEVER champion. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to this. Brian, what do you think of this match?
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is probably one of the top two matches I'm like really, really excited for. The other one's the IC title match, but this one is going to be because Togi Makabe is a brawler, just a crazy brawler in the ring, and you know, Ishii's, you know, an even crazier brawler in the ring. So they're going to mesh really well in the tag matches. I've seen some of the highlights. I haven't seen the full matches yet from that 6-man to Kirk and Hall, but they seem to have a good chemistry already. They wrestled each other previous times in tag matches before, and this is just a big stage for Tomohiro Ishii. I mean, he didn't have a singles match. He didn't have a match at all at last year's Tokyo Dome. And, I was kind of disappointed in that. But this is really a time for him to shine. I hope he gets enough time. I think maybe 12 minutes is just all you need, maybe less, a little less than that. And you know, right from the bill, it's going to be awesome. So, I mean,
Yeah,
this could.
we don't even know the lineup, but imagine like if you have Sakuraba Suzuki right before this match, and then you watch this match, you're gonna be like, oh, see, this should have been the one just to have all the time.
Yeah,
So,
this is going to be sweet. It's going to be awesome.
TJ, what do you think?
Yeah, we actually usually the lineup they release is the lineup they go in. So this actually will come right after Sakuraba Suzuki unless something changes. So that would be
Oh no.
that may play out exactly as you fear. You know, like that one asshole at the party who prevents everyone from having a universally good time? That's me with Tomohiro Ishii. I want to like him so much more than I do, but he so rarely works the way that I want him to work. And that's like when he's in control and just basically bullying a slightly smaller guy, whether it's Hamna, Kota Ibushi, I'm in love with the match. And then if he's just like playing the rugged, I not no selling. He doesn't no sell, but he's just like, I'm a tough guy and I can take anything you give me and I'll give it right back to you. And we're gonna go back and forth for a really long time and we're gonna prove how tough we are. I check out like after 2 minutes of that, and then it goes on for another 10 minutes. And like for instance, I was like the one guy who didn't like his match with Goto a couple months ago, and I find that I'm often in that position with Ishii matches. I do like him in the G1 because most matches are much shorter then, but and if that happens here, it's probably gonna be good. But I'm not I can't I've never I can't get excited about an Ishii match because I don't know if it's
It
gonna
feels
go.
like the match that you just described not liking is probably what he's gonna have again. Cause it, you know, cause
Yeah, that's what.
it's Makabe. What
Yeah.
other match could he have? He cannot bully around Makabe, you know.
Exactly. And
So.
I don't like him working from behind. I don't think he's interesting in that position. And
Right.
if this match goes 8 to 10 minutes, it's probably not going to do what I fear it's going to do. But if it goes 15, 18, then I'm probably just not going to care for it. But I'm the wet blanket in this case. Everyone else is going to love it. So
No,
if it's
I could see that. Because there are some guys, they're just the big guys that have that. It's kind of like when you see a Mark Henry Big Show match. You're like, oh, God. You know, Mark Henry shouldn't be in that position. Big Show for sure shouldn't be in that position. So it's kind of the same thing. I get what you're coming from. But the next match, I mean, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match, Yusuke Taguchi versus Kenny Omega. I think most people online that I've seen have pretty much predicted that Kenny Omega is going to be winning this, obviously because he had the big debut in the Bullet Club and during the tag matches that he's had. So, I mean, I'm excited to see this match. I'm not the biggest Taguchi fan in the world. I mean, I think he's fine, but after, you know, Apollo 55, I just haven't followed him enough, I guess. I mean, like, I've seen him in his matches, of course, but just he doesn't do much for me, so I'm hoping Omega wins here, but I don't know. TJ, maybe you're a bigger Taguchi fan than I am, so.
Oh no, I think I'm even a smaller fan of him than you are.
Oh wow.
But I will say I follow a similar path as you, is that when he was in Apollo 55, I mean, I thought it was a really fun tag team. He had some, remember that great Best of the Super Junior Finals with Kota Ibushi? That was fantastic. And then basically as soon as Apollo 55 broke up, he just lost whatever he had, it seemingly.
Right, and
And
what I mean, he was injured, right? Or am I not
yeah, he was
remembering that
injured. He
correctly?
de he definitely
Okay.
missed some time. And you actually, it seems like a trend with recently with New Japan guys, when they come back from injury, they just are not the same for a long time. So maybe, I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say maybe this will be his comeback match in a way. I know some people really like the Kushida match from a few months ago. I didn't think it was all that good. I'm not going to blame him for having a bad match with Taichi and a bad match with Desperado. I think those guys are just the dirt worst. But, and I don't have particularly high hopes for this one, but these two have worked together for a really long time, so maybe it will overachieve. I hope Kenny Omega wins. I just think he's an incredibly charismatic performer who could potentially somewhat save the junior singles division at the moment, which I think has just not been good at all for about 6, 7 months. And honestly, when Devitt was having the title for what, over a year last time, I mean, he basically didn't defend it. So it's been about 2 years since we've had a really sustained, strong run for the juniors division.
Yeah,
And
because it
I'm
seems like
ready.
all the major guys are in the tag division or juniors
Or,
tag division,
yeah,
not
in the
the.
juniors tag division, or they're actually, they're like Kota Ibushi and Devitt, and they just move up to the heavyweight division. So hopefully, this Kenny Omega winning will start a comeback for this division a little bit.
Brian, I know you're a fan of the cleaner, so who do you got winning this match? Come on.
Well, I guess I got to go with Kenny Omega, but I'm not sure if this is going to be as good as people are expecting it to be, because I think Raisuke Taguchi, he can have great matches, but he can't, like, carry lesser people to great matches. He needs to be carried to great matches. And I think Kenny Omega, like normal Kenny Omega and DDT, would have a great match with him. But right now, Kenny Omega's trying to do this heel character, and I'm worried that, like...
That's a really good point.
I think he's going to try this heel shtick in the match, and I don't know if he's really used to that. And I'm worried that, like, they're going to slow it down, and Taguchi slowing down, you know, not having, like...
He's already really slow.
That does not sound good at all.
Yeah, I'm worried this match is going to tank. That's my basic point. And I'm worried they're going to get...
I would say there's a really good chance it's going to tank.
Oh, yeah, I'm just worried Kenny Omega is not really ready for that heel role. I mean, I know he wanted, like, a challenge and, you know, being a big thing in Bullet Club, but I think that's going to take some time because we haven't even seen him work as a heel yet. He hasn't even had a match as the cleaner yet, so we'll see. I mean, I think overall, in the long run, it's going to be fine for Kenny Omega, but right off the bat, without even trying out the character, you know, in front of, like, a dark, you know, dark match or a house show or something like that, like, I'm a little skeptical. So,
well, they've done like a couple of tag matches, right? So I think he's have kind they? Of. I thought they did. I thought I saw that in one of the reports. I haven't seen it, but I thought I saw it in a report.
I think Omega went home after King of Pro Wrestling. I think he hasn't been back since. But I could be wrong.
I thought I had read in one of the results. Like I said, I didn't watch the shows or anything. But I'll look that up while we're talking about the next match. There. Speaking of the Bullet Club, Doc Gallows and Carl. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to. Yeah, I want to pile on this match a little bit even more. That's a really good point. Omega, you know, he was good as a heel tag team wrestler at PWG a few years ago, but being a heel tag team wrestler, being a heel singles wrestler are two different animals. So it's a really good point. I don't know if he's – maybe if it was like someone with Kota Ibushi who could compensate for Omega relying on mannerisms and character stuff instead of exciting action – It may work out better, but I don't think Taguchi is that wrestler anymore. I don't think he's someone who could just be exciting and fun. And
yeah, he's someone kind of drag along for the ride.
And he's also like he's the one who's like basing his offense around hitting people with his butt, right?
Right.
And what was Taichi and Desperado were actually like playing into that and working over his ass as if it was like a leg or an arm and like working it over to take away his main weapon and. I'm actually afraid Omega might do the exact same thing because Omega's got a really goofy sense of humor, but I don't know. This has all the makings of a disaster.
Yeah. And I hate to say that about a Kenny Omega match, but I don't know. This has something out and you're just going to go out and do it. I don't know.
Being in the Bullet Club and facing Raisuke Taguchi is not how I would debut Kenny Omega.
Me neither. But it's the big show, so we'll see what happens.
Yes, yes it is. Well, while I'm trying to look up the results here, let's talk about the next one. The Bullet Club, like we mentioned, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, defend the IWGP Tag Team titles against Hiroki Goto and Katsuyori Shibata. I mean, I think this match is just going to be everything we'd expect to be. The four guys are going to beat each other up. Shibata's going to kick the hell out of everyone. Goto's not going to sell. It's going to be awesome. I don't know. I mean, if you're into that style of match. It's not really – I'm not saying any four of them are bad. In fact, I think they're all really good. Just for this match, I just don't have, like, incredibly high hopes for it. But, TJ, what do you think of this match?
You know, I don't think I've seen either team have a good match yet, which makes me nervous for watching them together. And when Shibata and Goto became a tag team, I thought it was a really great, like, idea and a really great transition from their rivalry. But it – it hasn't really worked out well from the matches I've seen. I've really been underwhelmed, but also I don't particularly seem to like New Japan heavyweight tag team style. So maybe that's just an issue with me as opposed to the wrestlers themselves. I just find that they lose the crowd very early and they just keep going back and forth and back and forth. And by the end, I mean, I don't care anymore by the end of the match usually. And I mean, Gallows and Anderson are not a good team as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Carl Anderson joining the Bullet Club was the worst thing for him in the ring that could possibly have happened. I mean, he went from main eventing as a singles wrestler, I mean, a pay-per-view 2 years ago and having a great match on top to just having really clunky, boring tag matches in the middle of cards for the last year and a half or so. So, I mean, I'm not looking forward to this at all. I do hope Shibata and Goto win, though, because I'm ready for a new direction.
I could definitely see that. Yeah, I mean, in terms of what the heavyweight tag team division is in New Japan, it's just kind of like every other heavyweight tag division there is. They're just kind of, the guys are just there. I mean, I like Goto and Shibata. I think they have something special, but other than that, you know, doesn't really go past that.
They have like something special, but that something special hasn't been good matches yet. And but you're right. It's the heavyweight tag division's been like the one division that hasn't been strong at all since New Japan's been on the upswing that they've been on the last two, three years. So I don't know. Maybe Goto and Shibata being on top of it will help turn things around.
Brian, who do you see winning this match, and are you excited for it?
I'm not that excited, but I do want to see Shibata and Goto win. It's just I don't think they will, because what. I don't know why would they book the same match that they just had in the main event of their last iPay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like, I think you would tease the match but not actually give the match and then give the rematch. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have just Goto and Shibata beat them twice. Like, that kind of makes them look weak, or it makes Doc Gallows and Anderson look weak going in losing twice. But and then you would set up a third match for them just to lose again, you know?
Well, it's the rubber match too, technically, right? Because I think didn't Shibata and Goto lose a title match earlier in the year, or am I mistaken?
Did they? I'm not sure.
I think they did. Yeah, because that sounds.
Maybe it is, and I don't know, because that match wasn't that great, because I hardly remember it. So.
I mean, exactly. And
yeah, I think Doc Gallows is. I don't know. He just doesn't fit in New Japan. I mean, it's great that he's there and all, and he's perfect to be that big, you know, Gaijin guy that just picks on all the smaller.
Right. But they could have had Fale be Anderson's partner, and it would have like been the exact same thing.
Exactly, and I guess because they're both bald and white and got beards, I guess they weren't. I don't know. Something about it.
Yeah, I don't understand why Gallows is still there. I don't know how, like, people in the New Japan, or at least office, or at least people responsible for wrestling, can watch him and be like, yeah, he's really contributing to our product. He is worth flying out every single tour. Right. I don't get that. I just don't get what they see in him at this point.
Yeah, especially, I mean, and if you're going to fly him out, then why is Fale still there? It's like... I don't know.
Yeah,
why is
Tama Tonga still there? I mean, are Fale and Tonga just living there permanently? I mean, actually, Fale probably lives in New Zealand, so it's probably not that bad of a flight. But I mean, I don't see why they want to keep spending money on Luke Gallows. I don't see him contributing anything of any value.
He and Anderson, they got chemistry on the mic for the MLW podcast. If you guys are into those, but yeah, in terms of in the ring, it's like okay, they're there, you know. I mean, hey, if they were, like, working here in the States, I totally get it. But it's like you're flying them out. You're actually spending money to bring that out there. I don't know. But who knows? You know, maybe they, the way they see it, they're contributing.
Maybe so, Gallows just has a lot of frequent flyer miles, and it's a free flight for something.
Hey, if they're not having to spend money, then sure, why not? so the next match, AJ Styles versus Tetsuya Naito. This match, I think a lot of people are really excited about. I'm... kind of, you know, I'm personally looking forward to it. I don't know. I'm missing it with Naito. I think he has good matches. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of like charisma and what, I don't know. I don't see it. But and that's nothing against him, like I said. But it's, I just don't see where he's their future. Even though I understand that he is, because he is one of the younger guys, kind of. So yeah, Brian, what do you think of this matchup?
This is gonna be sweet. I mean, Naito is great when he. It's hard to explain. It's like when the crowd's against him, he seems to do a little better. But when the crowd's dead towards him, he just kind of is stagnant. It's kind of
like he doesn't do anything to get them back.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess he's just not going to be that top level guy unless he changes his act. Like,
but aren't they trying to position him as that? That's what I was talking about. Like, I get that he is supposed to be their future, but is he really exuding that? I mean, the last couple matches I've seen him in. They're good matches, don't get me wrong, and wrestling's important, but you also have to have that charisma, and I don't know. And like I said, maybe it's just because it's not my culture, I just don't see it.
He seems like Keiji Muto from, I guess, 87, 88-ish, 89-ish, before he went to the NWA and became Great Muta. So maybe he just needs like a heel turn and just refresh himself a little bit and kind of be that other heel besides Okada. Actually, Nakamura's not even a heel anymore, technically, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think they've pretty much given up on Naito being the next top guy in any sense of the word, or even being like a top two or three guy like they have on top of the moment. I think last year they really – his performance and the booking really botched his push to the top of Wrestle Kingdom last year, and I don't – he's recovered slightly since then. I think, you know, the much beloved Ishii matches, Ishii Naito matches, really restored him in some circles. But I don't see him as a top guy anymore. And I mean, he doesn't have the mysterious it factor at this point. Like, his charisma is not there, his presence not there, his fire in the ring is usually not there. And as a result, I'm rarely excited for his matches anymore, even the ones I know are going to be good, like this one.
Yeah, because it just seems like it's like good matches, and I think we've had this discussion, or at least that we probably have in some form or fashion, that sometimes it's just not enough anymore. You can't just say, oh, this is good, and this is what it's going to be, and I don't know. But like I said, maybe we're all wrong, and the crowds there love him, and we just don't understand. It's us.
They love him silently.
Yes. Yes. They're being respectful, TJ. Yes. That's what it is. Same thing here. I think it's going to be a good match, but...
And I mean, a big thing with this match is I want them to work it like a G1 match, because AJ's best matches this year by far have been in the G1, where everything's like 12 to 15 minutes and they kind of just go all out, and he doesn't mind working as a face when need be. I mean, when AJ is working prolonged heel matches this year, I mean, I haven't been feeling them at all. I don't think any of them have been really all that good. And so, I mean, if he's going to work like a slow pace, not do anything exciting, yell at the crowd, and Naito's just going to wait and make his standard five moves of Doom comeback towards the end, and then they'll trade finishers. I mean, that doesn't sound very exciting to me. I hope they mix it up a little bit.
Hey, you know, when Naito, he climbs that top rope, he puts that hand up much like it's almost like a Randy Orton-like pose. Hey, I think the crowd's into that, right? Yeah. Plus, I mean, him teaming with guys like, and there's nothing against them, but Hanma and Captain New Japan, and they're losing, obviously, to guys like Shibata and Goto, and I forget the other team, but he lost to, like, another team which you would have never thought he would have lost to. I can't remember what it was, but it was on one of the Road to the Tokyo Dome shows, and it was like, okay, so you're building Naito, but he's losing. What's the point? But, you know, hey, he's going up against AJ Styles. Do any of us think AJ Styles is not winning this match, or...?
No, he's got to stay strong. He's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really don't know what they do with AJ next year. I kind of wouldn't mind seeing him being pushed to the tag team division just to freshen that up a little bit, because I don't really want him on top anymore. I mean, I think I'm the outlier on AJ in New Japan this year, whereas I don't think he worked as champion at all. I thought he was great in the G1, but that's, in my opinion, that's not the same thing. So I really would keep him far away from the heavyweight title and keep him more in like the intercontinental title range or the tag team range.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting if he goes for the IC title and you have like Ibushi win. You have Ibushi and AJ Styles have an IC title rivalry in 2015. That'd be kind of interesting. But I guess that leads to the next match, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
That's a transition. Good transition.
There you go. So for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kota Ibushi. This match, I don't think any of us have anything bad to say, right? Right, guys?
No, I don't think so. I hope not.
Okay.
That's what I was brought on here for. It was to find something negative to say about everything. So.
I was fully expecting TJ for you to say, once again, I'm the wet blanket. And he's Nakamura guy. I don't get it. He comes out with the women and the leather pants and his wannabe Michael Jackson look. I don't get it. But anyway, yeah, no, this match I think should be really exciting. I mean, I like Kota Ibushi. I think a lot of people are expecting him to win the title. And I guess that's just because what else do you do with it in Nakamura? But if you said, I think both of you said that, if they pushed AJ Styles down a little bit, I would like to see Styles versus Nakamura matches. But, I mean, I don't know. TJ, what do you think of this match?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be really good. I think it's a lock to be a really good match, and it could be, once again, it could be the match of the night. I guess, like, if I had to, like, if I had to be the wet blanket here, just for the sake of being in the wet blanket, I'd say their match, like, a year and a half ago in the G1, I felt like they did everything. Like, I don't feel like there's anything left for them to do in the ring. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do to try to push the envelope a little bit. With who wins, I like Nakamura in the Intercontinental title role. Just, he's so reliable on pay-per-views for having like a good to every once in a while having a great match in the second to last match of the show. And I think unless you're pushing him to the world title, I'd rather him just kind of stay there and be reliable, have good matches. The crowd is always into him. He's not stale in the slightest. He's the opposite of stale. And I don't think you need to put the title on Kota Ibushi right away. But like I said, I think it should be really good and could be the best match of the show.
And I mean, I think either way, even whether Nakamura retains or Ibushi wins and say they did push Styles down, those would still be good matches. And if Nakamura's in the – I mean, Nakamura is always on the fringe of the heavyweight title, you know, especially when you have Tanahashi and Okada, and then you always have to add in, oh, well, either one of them could have and have had good matches with Nakamura. So
absolutely.
It works out, which has always been what I think for the last –
Two or three years. I mean, Nakamura's basically owned this title for the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing. Kota Ibushi is one of the most exciting wrestlers in the world as far as I'm concerned. So if he's going to be in that spot, that's probably going to work out just fine too. And I feel like they're going to go with Okada Nakamura in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom next year. So maybe they do drop, maybe Nakamura does drop the title here and then starts his push to that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking, actually. Like, this, because the way they position these matches, it seems it's like very intricate. Because I think Jado and Jado have that kind of intricate mindset where, like, one match ends and then the next match, like, the winner of the previous match comes out and challenges because he's obviously the next contender. So I think I see the scenario where AJ Styles wins, Kota Ibushi wins, AJ Styles comes out and points at the IC title and just starts, you know, the rumbling in the crowd and then kind of build towards AJ Styles and Kota Ibushi at an invasion attack or something like that. I think Ibushi winning is going to be a good, because I think you need to start building that next guy behind Okada, and maybe Ibushi's in. I mean, he's got the size, he's got the electric matches, and the crowd loves him. So I mean, why not? You know, I mean, maybe it was kind of like I don't want to say a blessing in disguise when you get a concussion, but him losing when he wasn't supposed to lose the junior title may have been the best thing for him.
And 100%, and plus yeah. it elevated Hamna at the same time.
Yeah, because, like, Honda was just put in the spotlight. And then, I mean, that way you can kind of – because they were going to do Katsuyori Shibata and Ibushi in the G1. And,
yeah, so many Ibushi matches would have been wasted, basically,
yeah,
in the G1.
Yeah, now you can see those as an IC title matches. And yeah. I think you're going to do a litmus test. I don't even know if that's the word. I'm looking – like, the right word I'm looking for.
But I know what you mean.
And you can have a few pay-per-views where it's the back-to-backs, where I think one's coming up in February where you can headline him as an IC title champion, as a pay-per-view, and headline Ibushi and, like, Nakamura in the rematch, and then headline Ibushi and Styles for the IC title. You know, I think this is a perfect opportunity to just start fresh for 2015 for Ibushi. And then AJ Styles and Ibushi seems like the perfect program. And then you build up Nakamura all the way up to the heavyweight title. So that's the way I would do it.
I would personally look forward to an Ibushi-Balak Fale main eventing a match. But, I mean, hey, I don't know if you guys would like that, but that's my kind of
thing. I would be all about that match. All about that match.
There you go.
Balak Fale is like my guilty pleasure for about a month last year, and then the G1 happened, and he was terrible, and I realized that second Nakamura match was just the most brilliant carry job ever, because I didn't even realize he was being carried.
Agreed? No, hey, I agree with that. It's like the moment you realize that Nakamura's like, you know Nakamura's a good wrestler, and then you see him in that match, and you're like, oh man, he really can do good with like almost anybody in the ring.
And I mean, Nakamura is my wrestler of the year last year. Even because I mean, he main evented half the shows. He got good matches out of terrible wrestlers like Bad Luck Fale. Not only that, he got like 3 or 4 good matches out of Bad Luck Fale, including 2 main events, or was it 3 main events? I can't even remember. And I mean, Nakamura was unbelievable last year. And I was someone when I first started watching New Japan, I was kind of like, all right, Nakamura, hi, dances around. He looks like he's on cocaine. He hits people with a running knee. Yeah, very very clever, very clever. And then I'm just like, oh, man, just like it was like a war of attrition. Now I'll watch a Nakamura match every day for the rest of my life at this point.
Well, here's hoping that he gets transitioned into this division, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. Hiroshi Tanahashi, the champion, going against Kazuchika Okada. This rivalry has been going on for now. It really does seem like years because it literally has been. But they've never
2012.
Had, yeah, they've never had a bad match. I mean, they've had matches where you could say, okay, they kind of did similar things in each one and whatever. But, hey, they're consistent. This is the main event of the biggest show of the year. So, guys, you know, TJ, I'm just going to go with you first. Do we see a title change here or what's going to happen?
I hope so. I don't know what – I feel like the last 6 months would kind of be wasted if Okada doesn't win here, but – it's been, what, 4 years straight that Tanahashi has won this championship in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. They clearly are not comfortable main eventing the show without him. And, I mean, I thought when Okada didn't win in 2013 in the spot, I was kind of like, oh my God, they really are uncomfortable ending a show without Tanahashi winning the belt here. So nothing at this point, nothing surprises me in a Tanahashi Okada match with the result, which is to be oddly admired because it, in a way, every match I felt like I know exactly what's going to happen at the end of it. And it's almost always the opposite. So
very true. Very true.
Like when the last stipulation in their last match was Tanahashi is going to stop challenging for that title. If he loses, it's like, oh Jesus, they're going to go back right back to Tanahashi. And then Okada won. So I mean, and like I said, then I don't know. I feel like Okada has to win here. I personally prefer Okada to Tanahashi. I mean, by a lot. And I am a fan of Tanahashi. I just think Okada's way, way better. And I'd rather see Okada on top, taking challenger after challenger like he did in 2013. But it wouldn't. I would not shock me if Tanahashi won.
Brian,
I'll pick Okada. Okada will be my official prediction.
There you go. Brian, who do you have winning this?
Well, the last time we discussed Tanahashi and Okada at the Dome, I obviously pushed for Okada, and it didn't happen. So, in my heart, I feel like Okada should win, but so that makes me pick Tanahashi.
I'm basically in the exact same position.
Yeah, because basically, like, in the very first match they had, right, the very first one where Okada beat Tanahashi, no one expected it, right? Because no one expected Okada to just walk in and beat Tanahashi. The second match, you're like, okay, they got to give Okada the win again because he's not really as over, and then they give the title back to Tanahashi. And then the third match came, and then the same thing. And then it's just the next match and the same thing. So, yeah, I got to go with Tanahashi because I think Okada should win. As weird as the logic that sounds, but and to be honest, I don't know what they can possibly do to, like, top themselves already because I felt they kind of peaked in their match in June of 2012, which was actually their second match. I think once you start kicking out of your finisher like two times, you kind of hit that peak, you know? And they really haven't added anything kind of new, you know?
The big thing
Okada still has is no one is kicked out of the Rainmaker when he's just hit it and pinned the guy right away. So that's like the one card they're saving for some show at some point. And I would hope they don't waste it on Tanahashi.
I would really save that
for like Kota Ibushi in 2 years at the Dome Show. Like don't waste that on Tanahashi. But
right. Or give that to like Shibata or someone who you know you're making, not Tanahashi who's there and beyond.
Yeah, I mean I just actually rewatched their King of Pro Wrestling match from 2013. Which is one of my favorite matches ever and my favorite match of their series. And I don't know what they can do next. Someone on Twitter, Dylan Waco, suggested that they should just do like a 15-minute sprint to take everyone off guard. And now I really want that, and it's not going to happen, and now I'm already disappointed. But
it's like they hit that 18-minute mark, and you're like, oh, the worst.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, what I love about it is that I don't get bored when he goes 25, 30 minutes, which is if you follow me on Twitter at all I do is complain about people going too long for no reason whatsoever. I hate it. I think it's just so stupid and outdated. And Okada's one of the few guys who can do that, along with like Daniel Bryan, who I don't get bored watching his 25 to 30 minute matches. I know some people do, but I'm not one of them. But I would love them for them just to completely change it up here and just each guy has this like real sense of urgency right from the get-go, and they try to end the match as soon as possible, and it ends like the 15-minute mark after like three straight Rainmakers.
Right. You give Nakamura and Ibushi the long match of the night, and then these guys just go at it balls to the wall, and it's different because we've never really seen a short match.
Yeah. We haven't seen a type of match from them before. That's the only thing they can do that would be really different. I mean, I'm really hoping that the time limits from the Jeff Jarrett pay-per-view or whatever prevent them from going 60. Every time Dave Meltzer says that, I'm just like, what decade are you living in? No one wants to see that anymore. It's also like Tanahashi doesn't have that much to do in the ring. But I don't know. Like, I think one thing they could do is like they could, like I said, they tighten it up, and like all Tanahashi does is go after the arm. All Okada does is go after the neck, and they just build to that one moment where Okada can hit the Rainmaker, or he hits three Rainmakers. Like, I think that would be a way more interesting direction for them to go in than just to do another 30-minute match that we've all seen before.
Yeah, I wouldn't see Okada pinning Tanahashi with just one, but yeah, I mean, doing two or three, you know, because if Tanahashi's going to lose, he's got to lose in a big way, right?
Yeah, and like it could be like a playoff the Nakamura G1 Climax Finals match, which I also just rewatched, and like Okada just hit three Rainmakers in a row, and now everyone's in a competition to take the Rainmaker in the most dangerous way possible. So I hope like Tanahashi just lands straight on the top of his head and just sits there for like 10 seconds. That's my dream match right there.
Rainmaker on the apron. It's going to happen.
Chris,
I don't know how you could even do that, but
why are you presenting these ideas that will not happen? Seriously. Oh, you could totally do a Rainmaker on the apron.
Could you really? Okada's
in the ring. Tanahashi's on the apron.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Ripcord. Tanahashi lands on his head on the apron.
There you go. See, that's much better. See, I was like, both guys on the apron. Where's the space for the ripcord? But okay, if he's in the ring, you could.
Yeah.
There you go. So yeah, guys. Overall, with what we're saying, is this gonna be the greatest event of the entire year? I mean.
Oh no, not a chance.
Oh. Damn
it. Damn. I mean, it's gonna be like 5-6 hours. I mean, remember last year? Like, it went way too long. Half the matches were not over at all. I mean, that could easily happen again this year.
I got to the halfway point last year, and I think I went through intermission and then kind of fell asleep.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. That was my level of dedication. But this guy's, this time around, they're limited. They have to do it in the 4-hour time period. Or, I mean, they don't. I guess if they could somehow really edit it quickly for the Sunday replay, I don't know. That's the weird part about this. So
I'm not sure how much they really care about Global Force Wrestling. Like, it doesn't seem like Jeff Jarrett's entire business model is probably going to be dependent on how big this pay-per-view is. Let's start our online streaming service completely undercut his business plan.
I know, right? It was like, I think it was like literally within, you knew when New Japan World launched, everyone, you know, well, not everyone, obviously, I think it was like, what, only 10,000 people, but a lot of people were like, oh, I'm going to get this service now. Man, why do I even need to buy it on pay-per-view? And their big selling point was Jim Ross and whoever he was going to announce with, and it turned out it was Matt Stryker. See, this all came full circle.
Yeah.
It all works out. But yeah, that is the PPV. Brian, like I said, you're going to be staying late, you're going to have friends over. This could still be one of the better events of the year, right?
I mean, it should be. I mean, it, in terms of, I think it's probably going to be the biggest attended event of the year, like in terms of people.
Oh, absolutely. In that regard, it's supposed to be their best drawing January 4th show in a few years.
WrestleMania, maybe. If they go in this, I don't know if they actually got 60,000. That's questionable at this point, I think.
But like 40 and 50 seems perfectly reasonable for this.
Yeah, so it would be the second highest attended show of the year, so.
And they haven't done that in a while. Like, the last few years have not been great drawing years, compared to past January 4th shows, so.
Right, so this is big, and I think it'll be probably one of the top two or three of the year if everything plays out well. Like, I see the first, you know, like, the four-way tag and everything up to, like, the eight-man tag, that's probably, like, 45 minutes right there, maybe less, if you time it out right, and then you do, like, the next, like, I don't know. I see, like, the last three matches getting the last 90 minutes. And then everything after that, you just rush. And some of the matches in the bottom undercard, you can rush anyway because they're going to have short matches anyway. So maybe it's not as bad as it seems. And
you
got
to time in the entrances also.
They have big entrances for the show. I mean, you always think that you have enough time, but WWE proves every single year that no matter how few matches they have at WrestleMania, things get rushed and things don't have enough time.
Yeah. So we'll see on this one. Yeah.
Nakamura should just pull an Ultimate Warrior and just sprint to the ring. There we go.
That would be awesome, too. That'd be awesome.
That's his entrance.
Just do a whole roll of cocaine just right before he goes out for his entrance.
That reminds me of a movie, Infernal Affairs. Anyone seen that?
I have. Yes. It's the basis of The Departed.
Yeah. Was it at the beginning, or am I thinking of a different movie?
No, it is.
Is it?
I think it is.
Or maybe we're thinking of a different movie.
You're saying Infernal Affairs, right? The
Infernal.
Japanese.
Which was
the basis for The Departed here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the movie where it's like isn't that the Kashimi Kane? Or am I thinking of something else? Where I've definitely seen a movie where a Chinese guy like took a snort of cocaine that was like, I don't know, 10 feet long.
I have the DVD here. I can pull it up. That would be a great podcast.
This is just great audio already.
It's a different movie called Dead or Alive. I don't know if you've seen that either.
Okay, I have not seen that.
Okay, then.
Is that the Takashi Miike one you're talking
That's
about?
what I'm talking about. He's a
It has
stranger.
like the weird font as the. Yeah. I haven't seen that
I
one
have
either.
seen a movie where a guy's done a line of cocaine like 10 feet long, so that's it's possible. That'd be one hell of an entrance.
I like how you're basing this off of movie knowledge. It is possible because I saw it in the movie. Anyway, so that is our preview for Wrestle Kingdom 9. I assume everyone, you're going to be watching it hopefully either live or the replay. I believe. Brian, I don't know if I spoke to you about this already, but Jerome, we're going to be doing a live review of it, but I think Jerome wants to do it after the replay, so not,
Sunday night.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Not 7 o'clock in the morning. But you never know. Jerome might get inspired. So anyway, guys, appreciate both of you being on the show. As always, we want to get some of those plugs out there. So Brian, since you usually have the least amount to plug, why don't you go first?
Yeah, nothing much coming up. I don't even think there's a PWG show coming up next month, or this month, I should say, right? Because it's January.
We'll talk about that off the air. So.
Ooh.
Okay.
They haven't announced their next show yet, though. That is correct.
Yes, as of now. I'll probably do some graphic design work when the show comes out, when I get inspired to, as I usually do. I'll be covering the Tokyo Dome show. I don't think I'll be doing a live article, because that seems a little too much for me and that kind
You're
of
a, such a slacker, Brian. Jeez.
I'll do the tweeting, but an article and hashtag.
Just have Dez do it. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Delegate.
him typing up and yeah. So yeah, I guess that's. I really have nothing to plug except me doing the Tokyo Dome show coverage, and that's about it. And then we'll see what happens when there's a PWG show coming up. Yeah, I think. Chris at IVP Videos, he's going to put up that new trailer I did pretty soon, so you'll see it. I did the...
yeah, I saw you tweeting about that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so have you seen have you ever ordered a DVD from IVP Videos?
All the time.
That silly Jushin Liger video at the beginning, I made that at my senior year of high school in a shitty editing video.
So you actually you did an updated one, is what you
said. I
did
an updated one because I actually got inspired. And, 8 years, and it takes me to get inspired after 8 years. So there you go, everybody. That's about it, pretty much. Oh, wait, we're going to do a PWG podcast eventually, I hope. We were supposed to do it on Monday, but Matt Waters and then Jerome did that podcast that broke the internet on women's wrestling. So,
hey, the women's wrestling brings the hits. Yeah. TJ, what do you have going on, sir?
You can follow me on Twitter at TJHawk411. I will be live tweeting the event, of course, making fun of various things that go wrong, as I'm wont to do. I'll also probably have a report up on the show within like a half hour of it ending, like in the live time. So I'm maybe trying to be watching it live. If you want to read about old New Japan wrestling, you can go to oldnewjapan.wordpress.com. That's a new blog I've started. And if you want to read about old All Japan wrestling, you can go to allthealljapan.wordpress.com. And those are the plugs I'll do here.
There you go. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Check us out. Follow us, pwponderings.com, twitter.com/pwponderings, and facebook.com/pwponderings. TJ and Brian, we'll talk to you again real soon.